apostle really began to lay out last week about discerning and how to discern the voice of the Lord. Because it's very important that we learn to recognize his voice above every other voice. We know out in the world there are multiple voices speaking, because everybody with a platform, or everybody's trying to build a platform and have a voice. They're building, they're releasing. It's easier now than ever, which is a good thing for believers, to release the podcast, to go live, to build on social media. But unfortunately, with that ease, that's for believers, when we take advantage of it, there's also an ease for other folks to get on there and just say anything. This is ringing just a little bit. Can you turn me down just a tad? And so, because it's easy for anybody to say anything and say they heard it from God, or that they're speaking on behalf of God, it can sound like a lot of confusion, noise, and mess. And so we have to be able to discern the voice of the Lord and recognize when he's speaking. Because the more we recognize God's voice, the better we'll be able to tell and recognize when he's speaking through a person and when he's not speaking through a person, because we know his voice. And so we're going to spend most of our time in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3, because there is some other stuff that the Lord told me, but I know we're not going to get to it today. But I'm just going to drop something on you really quick that we'll talk about later. When I was praying for you this week, the Lord spoke to me three words. He said, it's time for you to arise, to infiltrate, and to dominate. He said, it's time for you to arise, infiltrate, and dominate. Now, I'm not going to unpack that today, but I'm giving it to you for you to pray into as to what that looks like. He said, we are in a season where, like Caleb, after 40 years of circling the promised land with a group of people who were disobedient because of unbelief, after that generation died off, Caleb came to Joshua and said, give me my mountain. So for some of you, it seems like you've been circling your promise for a long time, and some of the people you've been connected to had to break away from you, had to break off, because their unbelief was actually hindering you. But now is your time for you to take your mountain, your sphere of influence. So it's time for you to arise, infiltrate, and then dominate. Say amen to that. But we're still talking about discerning the voice of the Lord, and I'm just going to read John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. Say, I know the voice of the Lord. Say, I know the voice of the Lord. All right, just take a second and say, I know the voice of the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that this revelation will be released with power. It will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We thank you for the spirit of revelation that we receive in this moment. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we know the voice of the Lord. And then Jesus said it again in John 10, in that same conversation, in verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Say, I hear the voice of the Lord, and I follow him. Say, I hear the voice of the Lord, and I follow him. Glory to God. Anybody who's been doubting that you could hear God, I want to break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. You have the capacity to hear the Lord. See, a lot of times what happens when God speaks, the enemy tries to flood or attack the mind and make you think it was your own thoughts instead of the voice of the Lord. Because there are times when the voice of the Lord will sound to you in your spirit like your own voice. And so you're wondering, is this me or is this God? But recognize the more you spend time with him, the more time you spend praying in the spirit, the more time you spend getting into his word, you will recognize, wait, that's his voice, not my thoughts. And then even in your spirit, you begin to hear the distinction. Because it seems, y'all, this is like supernatural school on a Sunday. Can we go to supernatural school right now? Because when you hear the Spirit of God initially, as we are learning his voice, it will sound like your thoughts. Because sometimes God will speak using a voice that sounds familiar to you to get your attention. It'll sound like your thoughts, but then the more you begin to talk to him, his voice will become clearer and more distinct to you, where you will recognize the consonance and the cadence of his voice and even the sound, how it distinguishes from yours. And so, but in those early stages or unsure stages, that's when the enemy shoots what the Bible describes as fiery darts to make you think that it was your voice and not God's, and then you don't move on it. The more you move on the voice of the Lord when you hear him, the easier it is to hear him. And in 1 Samuel, I know I told y'all chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 3, because I want to show you something really quick. And then we're back up. But I want to show you something really important. It says, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." I'm going to pause there. Where was Samuel lying down? He was in the temple, but he was where the ark of God is. The ark of God in the Old Testament was the physical representation of presence. So Samuel was laying down in a place that signified the direct, uninterrupted presence of God. You see that, right? And then it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. Now, here's the thing. The Lord used a voice that sounded like Eli's to get Samuel's attention. Eli clearly said, "It wasn't me, I ain't call you." But Samuel was raised serving in the temple. Remember, and we're going to see it when we back up, his mom had been praying in the temple to get pregnant with him and told the Lord that if she gave him a son, he would dedicate him back. And so she kept her word by bringing him back to Eli. And so Samuel grew up knowing Eli's voice. And it says that he ministered to the Lord before Eli. So he would serve the Lord, and he grew up serving in the temple before Eli. So in that interaction, you know Eli has called him before, and he was used to serving, so he would come to him and say, "Here I am." Now, because Samuel had not yet been developed in hearing God's voice, God used Eli's voice to get his attention. But of course, he didn't stay there. You guys understand that, right? It was an attention getter, not a, "I'm going to talk to you all the time" in Eli's voice. Because this is really supernatural school. Because some people are saying that they are encountering the cloud of witnesses. People are on social media teaching that. They are teaching that they've encountered Abraham and Elijah and all these people and Peter. But the problem is a social media post doesn't allow explanation on that. Because if a spirit appears to you looking like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Elijah, it is a demon. It is what the Bible describes as a familiar spirit. And we know that when we are deaf, as we define it, is an illusion. Y'all understand that, right? Y'all follow me? Death is transition from the natural realm to the spiritual realm. But there will become a time when the Bible says death is swallowed in victory, meaning that there will be no more transition. We will be living in this duality of place like Adam did. So we know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by biblical explanation, are still alive. But they are not appearing coming to the earth to anybody. That is not allowed, and that is a violation of a heavenly law. What they can do, the Bible describes them as a cloud of witnesses. They can see what's going on, and they can make a decree over us, but they can't get involved. By nature, the word witness means somebody who saw something but wasn't involved in the altercation or interaction. And when you look up that Greek word for witnesses in Hebrew, it brings it back to that same meaning. Now, if someone had an encounter in a dream, that's different. Because God speaks through dreams and visions. He also speaks directly to your spirit man. Sometimes you just know a thing, or sometimes you hear him talking to you, and sometimes he speaks audibly. Now, I've had the honor of having all of those. I've heard him speak audibly. He speaks to me in my spirit man. Sometimes I just know a thing and don't know how I know it or why I know it. And I also get dreams and visions. And I find those things happen the more I steward them. Like when I have a dream, I document it and I pray into the meaning. The more I do that, the more God speaks to me that way. The more I ignore that, the less he will speak to me that way. Because God is intentional. He's not wasting what we would call time. So if you have a vision or a dream and you see like Abraham or Isaac in the dream, it is God, it is not them, but it is God using their likeness to convey a point because of what is written about them in scripture that he's trying to get to you. Do you guys understand that? And so that's why we have to be careful when people said, I had an encounter with the cloud of witness. What was that encounter? And then people will say, well, you can't argue my experience. We can't. But the Bible tells us to judge. Not a person, but we can judge encounters. We can judge spirits. So if someone says it appeared to them physically and told them something, you'd be like, bruh, that was a familiar spirit. But if they said they had a vision, then it's like, okay, what does that person in the scripture mean to you? And let's dig into what God said about them that applies to how he's communicating with you in this moment. Everybody clear? And so we see that God used Eli's voice to get Samuel's attention. But it was only an intention getter. All right, so let's back up. Let's back up a little bit. So in chapter 2, I'm going to show you a couple of things. And then we'll go back to chapter 3. This is going to get real deep real quick. I'm like, when I was looking at this, I was like, Jesus, I had to take a break because it was so overwhelming. But I love digging into the word like this. Now, let's even start at chapter 2. Let's start at verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. But we know in chapter 3, it said Samuel didn't know the Lord, right? What was the difference Why would the Bible call Eli's sons worthless, but not say that about Samuel when both of them didn't know the Lord? Neither of them had experience with the Lord. That word know also refers to discerning. They hadn't discerned the Lord. Well, that word actually refers to in the literal translation as Belial. So the King James says, now the sons of Eli were, you know what? I'll just read it to you instead of quoting it. Because we're going to see the difference really quick between Eli's sons and Samuel. And notice this, they're all in the same environment. Samuel's being raised up in the same environment with Eli's sons. He only saw his mama once a year when she would come up to the sacrifice and bring him a coat, a linen ephod. But it says this, if I can get to 1 Samuel, hold on, I was in 2 Samuel thinking I was ready. But in 1 Samuel, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. That word Belial means wickedness, corruption. So even though by nature or by in the physical realm they were sons of Eli, but they made themselves sons of wickedness. And then it goes to tell what they were doing. It talks about how when people would bring an offering, they would take the offering before they were supposed to have a right to get their portion. They would had the right to get a part that would fall off. But they would come and steal and take offerings. Then it says that they were sleeping with the women who worked at the tent of the meeting. Now, if that was to, I mean, scandals and fellowships have been happening way back then. If that would have been today, you know, folks would have been on YouTube, this is my reaction to Eli's sons, you know, sleeping with the ladies. Or they would have been like, Eli exposed his sons, pimping the ladies and stealing offerings. You would have had all kind of stuff on social media. But this was happening, and while this environment was happening, and Eli tried to correct his sons one time, but they didn't listen. And unfortunately, Eli was what I call a soft serve leader, because he didn't like, look, you ain't listening, so I'm gonna remove you. He didn't do that. God said he honored his sons more than he honored him, which is why there was a punishment given to him. And that's kind of like, I started reading this and I saw a parallel. So you see somebody in a position whose son is doing wickedness and that person in position ain't doing nothing about it, but trying to cover. And I'm not going to say the dude's name, but we all know who I'm talking about. It is implied. And so we see that even in this scenario, when Eli refused to deal with his sons, we see God dealt with him and his entire lineage. That's why some stuff here in the U.S. have gone as long as it has, and it seemed like it's gotten worse and worse and worse, because one, we see the person who allows certain spirits into the atmosphere of this country, but we also see God giving opportunity for repentance. Now, I don't do politics, but I do kingdom and I do righteousness. And so I do understand that when folks are tripping and they are in a position of leadership, that sometimes there's a grace for repentance. And when they don't, there is an execution of judgment. God is loving and he loves everybody, but he's not going to let somebody in a place of influence mess it up for everybody else. Because he said, look, you allowed your sons to cause my people to sin. They began to hate the offering. And so Samuel is raised in this type of environment, and you know that his mom had to truly be committed to the oath she gave to the Lord. Because everybody knew what Eli's sons were doing. And I know some parents today, they'd be like, look, I'm going to get my kid up out of there. Could it be, and this is for some parents who have children in public school, could it be that with all of that foolishness in the environment, you might not need to pull your kid out? Could it be that God is going to shelter them and use them as his voice in that place? And you might think, well, they're not old enough to deal with this kind of stuff. Only us in our natural minds think about natural progression of learning and decision-making capability to determine, oh, they're not mature enough for this yet. While that's true in a case, but God doesn't wait until natural maturity to use them. Because he uses children beyond their maturity level and their age level to prophesy and to demonstrate his power. So could it be that in that environment, you worried about your kid being contaminated? Could it be that they need to be worried about your kid contaminating them with glory? So you really got to hear what God is saying about these things, because I know that they're trying to trip, and the Florida's Board of Education is talking about adding stuff to certain standards to make it like certain, and a certain tragic event in American history wasn't good, that they tried to make it sound good. They tried to put a political spin on it to say that, you know, during slavery, blacks learned the trade skills that they would not have learned. And I'm like, who in their right mind would think that and try to put that in a content standard? So, but is it time for parents to say, no, 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 not on my watch? Is it time for parents to say, look, Governor DeSantis, some of that stuff you do is cool, but some of it ain't, and this ain't? Because as believers, we can't avoid speaking up about a certain thing, waiting to be raptured. We have to hear the voice of the Lord and say, how should I echo your voice, God? I have to do more than just pray for the education system. I need to show up to something and be like, this is foolishness. So Samuel was in that environment, but verse 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 2 says, he was ministering before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen ephod. So while Eli's sons were having their fun wilding out and stealing and thinking they could get away with it because there was no accountability, Eli was focused on ministering before the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 26, it says this. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and with men. Where do we hear that from? That was written about Jesus, too. Where it said he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. Guess what? That's written about you, too. You grew in stature and in favor with God and man. And we're still growing in stature and in favor with God and man. Stature doesn't just mean physical size. It means influence. God is increasing your influence and your favor with people as well as in the realm of the heavenlies. Now we get to verse 3. Because it says this, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering before Eli. Now he's still ministering to the Lord, before Eli. He's still focused. Say focused. As we discern the voice of the Lord, we have to stay focused on ministering before the Lord. Even when you go on your job, you are ministering to the Lord before those people. And then it says, and word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. Now, this is right at the end of chapter 2, we see a prophet come to Eli and tell him, dude, because you let your sons do this, this is going to be your consequence. So words are rare. Visions are infrequent. And it's because of this corrupt environment, except for Samuel's the only one we see in this scenario posturing himself to hear. Because he's ministering before the Lord. You follow me? So then it says this. So then we see what happens. It says, and it happened at the time Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim as he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, that the Lord called Samuel. Say, the Lord called Samuel. The Lord called him, and then he gets up and runs to Eli and says, here I am. Now, he's been spending all this time ministering before the Lord. He spends his time sleeping where the ark is, the thing that signified the direct presence of God. Even though there were influences in front of him doing the exact opposite of how he was supposed to live, he kept himself in a certain posture with the Lord. One of the things we have to recognize that regardless of what people are doing around us, our posture must remain the same to hear the Lord. Our posture to hear God cannot be determined on what everybody else is doing and saying. Because everybody moves on trends and fads, but Holy Spirit just moves. And so I move with him, which may cause me to be ahead of a trend or a fad, but I don't move because of a trend or a fad. It allows me to be in the world but not of it because I'm posturing to minister before the Lord and to be in his direct presence all the time. Because of Holy Spirit, remember, we have access to his direct presence all the time. We don't have to tune up, rev up, or get ready. It's not like you're ready to praise the Lord. I've been ready. It was this song that was in a movie in this group, this rap group. And they were like, they were country. You know, they had that country thing. So they would say, is you ready? My whole squad ready. Well, I've been ready. And my whole squad is ready. So we see now the second time, look at verse 6. I want to show you something. Verse 6, it says, the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call my son, lie down again. Now, remember, we see the Lord called. We see that in verse 4. We see it in verse 6, right? Pay attention to that. It specifically says the Lord called. Say the Lord called. And then we see in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him. I told you that word know refers to knowing like an acquaintance, but it also refers to, definition was so long, I could barely type it all in my notes. I was like, man, I need to snap a picture. It also refers to discerning. So he had been ministering before the Lord, but hadn't yet learned to discern his voice. So God used Eli's voice. God made his voice sound like Eli to get his attention. And then it says in verse 8, so the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned something. So Eli remembers when God used to talk to him. And he figured, okay, in this moment, you came to me three times saying that I called you when I ain't opened my mouth. I'm sitting here snoring. That must be the Lord. So then he gives him instruction. And the instruction is this. He said, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you should say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went down to lay in his place. Now we see Samuel with instruction on how to respond to what he was hearing. Sometimes, without the right response, we don't hear the continuation of the sentence. Because before it said the Lord called, right? And the Lord called. The Lord called. Some folks are still dealing with the fact that the Lord called. Once you get the instruction and recognize what to do when you hear the call, now we can hear the rest of what God has to say. Because he's not going to give you a sentence in a paragraph when he doesn't have our attention to even hear it. So he's getting Samuel's attention. All right, so that's my time. I'm going to set it for 3 minutes, literally. And then wherever I'm at when these 3 minutes are up, we just going to stop. All right? All right. Boom, y'all just saw me hit the button. So I'm not going to talk 20 minutes and be like, you said 3 minutes. So in verse 10, we see this. Then the Lord came and stood and called. What did he do? He came, he stood, and he called. Say it again. He did what? Came, stood, and called. Now remember, I told you in verse 6, it says the Lord called. And remember in verse 8, it says, so the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. So previously, the Lord called. This time, with the instruction, the Lord could come, stand, and call. See, a lot of times we read over that as if he came, stood, and called all three times. But when we look at how that is written, it says he came, he stood, and he called as at other times. So the only thing he did as the other times was the call of his name. But this time he came and stood. So in a time where visions were infrequent, Samuel now is having one because he discerned the voice of the Lord. At a time when nobody could have a vision, or they were very infrequent, and the word of the Lord is rare, because of his posture to discern, he had a vision where the Lord came and stood and then called his name. He had an enhanced encounter because of his posture. Say posture. Some people want to hear the voice of God, but I'm telling you, God is like, look, I don't just want to talk to you. I want to come and stand and talk to you. Hallelujah. That's a whole different thing. I want to hear the voice of the Lord, and I'm glad I do, but I want to see the Lord stand and call. I remember I had an encounter one time when I was praying in my room and the lights was on and I was just in there going in praying. I turned the light off. The glory of God was so bright, I thought the light was still on. So, you know, me being funny, I'm like playing with the lights to make sure. It was the glory of God in that space. And I was like, Jesus, I want the Lord to come stand and call. See, anybody can say anything on the internet, but the more I spend time with the Lord and he stands and he comes and he calls, the more I know everybody that's calling themselves prophet on YouTube ain't a prophet. And the more I know what they're saying ain't quite right or need to be explained more. Glory to God. His posture caused him to have a vision. And then we read it again in verse 15. It confirms it. It says, Samuel lay down in the morning. He opened the doors to the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. All right. During a time nobody was getting visions, he got one. Hallelujah. So as you posture yourself to discern God's voice, you're going to position yourself for an encounter greater than what you thought you were going to get. Hallelujah. And my timer just went off, so I'm going to stop there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let me check. Let me give you this, though. Because, and I'm telling you, this is like 60 seconds. Let me give you this, because this is going, I'm going to want you to marinate on this before Wednesday. It says, because this is the same Samuel where it says none of his words fell to the ground. It says, verse 19 in chapter 3 says, thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Say, none of his words fail. So while he was learning to discern, yes, there was a growing stage, but then there came a point where none of his words failed. And then it says, all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Eli didn't lay hands on Samuel. It doesn't say none of that. It's just because Samuel postured himself so the Lord can come, stand, and call. In that posture with the Lord, everybody saw it and knew that he was a prophet of God. He didn't have to have prophet on his title. He didn't have to have prophet on his website. He didn't have to have it on the social media platforms. He ain't say, come listen to me prophesy this week. He ain't have to say none of that. He just began to say what the Lord said, and none of his words failed because he could discern the voice of God. And he started with posturing himself in a way where God can come, stand, and what? He could come, stand, and what? Call.